Too often, the true meaning of Christmas gets lost in the excitement of the season. With an overload of activities to attend, presents to buy, and people to see. We believe this special series will help remind us what the Christmas season is really about. Join us as we discover Christ in Christmas.
Welcome. Hey, heads up. Christmas is next Friday. Just so you know, 5 shopping days left. Rob, you got to get your presents, brother. I do too. 5 days left to get the perfect gift. And we're going to talk about gifts tonight. We're going to talk about the perfect gift. It's a gift I received almost 40 years ago. And it's a gift that keeps on giving. It's a gift I hope you get tonight. I really do. I hope you get the perfect gift. It reminds me of a story of a little boy who is writing a letter to God concerning some very important gifts that he wanted to get for Christmas. And he was writing and he wrote, "Dear God, I've been a good boy for 6 months, therefore I think I deserve the following presents." And then he sat and thought and he crossed out 6 months and he put 3 months. "I've been a good boy for 3 months." And then he thought again and he crossed it out and he put 2 weeks. And then almost flabbergasted, he just sat, looked across the room, then got up and walked across to the nativity set that had been set up on his table with the little figurines of Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And he grabbed the figurine of Mary and came back and sat down at the table and put the figurine right in front of him, took another piece of paper and started to rewrite his letter. And he said, "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again." Now, getting the right present, getting a perfect present is important, but it's not worth kidnapping Mother Mary, okay? It's just not worth it. And you don't have to. You know, in fact, here's the good news, that as opposed to, contrary to popular Christmas songs about Santa, it doesn't matter whether you're naughty or nice to get this perfect gift. In fact, we're all on the naughty list. Anybody else want to admit they're probably on the naughty list this year? You've sinned at least once this year? Yeah, you probably have. We're all on the naughty list, but the present that you really need, the perfect present, comes whether or not you're naughty or nice. It's offered to everyone. In fact, we read this in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is," say it with me, "the gift of God." That's what we're going to talk about tonight, the gift of God. Salvation, it's a free gift, not by works, so that no one can boast. You can't write a letter to God and say, "You owe me, you have to give me." We can't do that. And we don't have to. That is the good news. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the gift. That is the perfect gift today. Jesus is the gift of God to the world. I like this quote by Vance Havner. He says, "Christmas is based on an exchange of gifts. The gift of God to man, his unspeakable gift of his Son, and the gift of man to God when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice." It really is. Christmas is so much about gifts. Jesus is the perfect gift. He is the gift that's worth searching for, and it's eternally important that you find it. And you can find it tonight. That's been my prayer all week, that you find it. So my goal tonight is to help you remember what you've been given. If you're a Christian, to help you remember awesome this gift is. Number two, help you find the gift. If you haven't found it yet, if you don't know Christ, if you're a seeker here tonight or watching online, I want you to find that gift. And you'll have an opportunity to find that gift and receive that gift. Go home with it today. So here's what we're going to look at. 4 reasons that Jesus is the perfect gift this Christmas. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to join with me as we look at the four reasons why Jesus is a perfect gift. Lord, thank you for the reminders, even in our singing, even in our worship, even in the Christmas hymns that we sing every year. And it's such a good reminder. And this message, in a lot of ways, will just be a reminder to people about what it is that we have in the gift of Jesus. But for some, it could be the beginning of a lifetime of having Christ in their lives. They could receive the perfect gift even today. And I pray that they would. We thank you for this time now. Help us, I pray. Help us understand that you are the most important gift this Christmas. For it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. All right, you have some blanks if you want to pull those out. That'd be great. Or you can follow along on the app. The blanks are on the app as well. So, four reasons. Here's the first reason that Jesus is the perfect gift this Christmas. Number one is that he is among us. In other words, he isn't some God that's far away. He is very near to us. He came to this planet, and he came as a man, a human baby. Jesus is not a God far away. He's a God close by. He is among us. In fact, I like to think of it as Jesus invaded this planet. The God creator, almighty, powerful God, invaded this planet 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, he came to this planet to offer himself as the perfect gift. It says in Matthew 1:23, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Oh, well, the Bible tells us right there. Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's crazy talk. God with us, like God sitting right here? Is that possible? Yeah, that's what he did. God with us. Emmanuel, the virgin would give birth to a boy, and we'll call him Emmanuel, meaning God became a man. That is the most amazing thought you could ever have. And it really, really happened. It really happened. If it didn't, we're just wasting our time here. We're not just talking about some kid's story. We're talking about history that really happened. God, who made everything, became one of us. That is a Christmas gift to you and me. I like this quote by J.B. Phillips. He's an English Bible scholar. He said, "Behind all of our fun and all of our games at Christmas time, we should not try to escape a sense of awe, almost a sense of fright, at what God has done. We must never allow anything to blind us to the true significance of what happened at Bethlehem so long ago. Nothing can alter the fact that we live on a visited planet." We live on a visited planet. In fact, what we need to be reminded of tonight is that Jesus didn't start in a stable. You know that, right? But you need to be reminded. He was God from the beginning, he is God now, and he will be God forever. He didn't just start on Christmas Day. God has always been, and Jesus is God in the flesh. In fact, look at this verse in Colossians. It's amazing. Colossians 1:15-16 says, "Jesus Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God. He existed before God made anything at all." Did you hear what that just said? Listen to this again. Jesus existed before God made anything at all. And in fact, Christ himself is the creator who made everything. Who made everything? Jesus made everything. Who was the little baby in the manger? Jesus, who made everything. He was laid in hay and wood that he made, surrounded by animals that he created and thought of, sitting on dirt on a planet that he made. That little baby, that little vulnerable baby. He didn't start in a stable. He's been God for eternity past, and he will be God forever. Now, we need to just think about that for a second. This helps me. How big of a deal was that God became a man? It's a pretty big deal. I mean, you can think of a lot of world history events that were big deals, or even this year we had a bunch of things that were big deals, but Jesus is bigger than all of them. Think about some of the things that have happened, historical events that have happened throughout history and then this year. I mean, the Revolutionary War, that was a big deal. Men on the moon, yeah, pretty big. The falling of the Berlin Wall, huge event in history. What about this year? We had the coronavirus pandemic. We had the presidential elections. We had Summer Olympics that were canceled. Do you even remember that? They canceled the Olympics. That's a big deal. I mean, Meghan and Harry had to step down. Poor little rich royals. They had to step down from all their royal activities. Utah, right here in Utah, we had a drought. We had earthquakes. These are big deals. And then one of the bigger deals that's happened. You probably know about this, but the McRib is back. I don't know if you knew that or not. This is such good news. I might stop on the way. Honey, we might stop. We go right past the McDonald's. I don't know why it's not on the menu all the time. So many big things have happened, but not as big as Jesus, God of the universe, becoming a man and coming amongst us as a gift. That's the biggest news, amen? That is the biggest news. And by the way, the fact that Jesus Christ came to this planet to offer himself as a sacrificial gift makes Christianity unique among all world religions. Among all world religions. You don't need to take a survey of world religions in some college class or some seminary. I'm just going to tell you, here's the summary. All world religions are basically them telling you how you can be good enough, how you can work your way up to be good enough to have God accept you, to be worthy before God. That's most world religions. Christianity is just the opposite. It's God reaching down to you and saying, you can never make it, but I'll send my son so you can come. Christianity is unique among world religions in that way. Jesus came to this planet to offer himself as a gift. He was among us. That's the first reason that Jesus is a perfect Christmas gift this year. So here's the second. Well, actually, no, because there's such a good quote. I don't want to miss this, because you could be saying, well, wasn't he just a man? Wasn't he just a good teacher? No, he's more than that. And I can't let this quote go by C.S. Lewis. He says this: a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must take your choice. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God, but let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Jesus was not just some good guy who taught a lot of good things. He was God in the flesh. That makes him the perfect gift. So, he was among us. Number two, second reason he's the perfect Christmas gift is that he is accessible, which means you and I can know him. He's knowable. He's not some far-off God that is, you know, so far out there that he's so busy with so many other things he can't even consider you and I know. Jesus is accessible. And him becoming a man shows that he's accessible. In fact, you and I were created to have a relationship with God. That's why we were created, to have a relationship with God. Not just have a religious experience, but have a relationship, a personal interaction, relationship with the God of the universe. I love what Jesus says in John 17. He says, and this is the way to have eternal life. Well, you better listen. If he's telling you how to have eternal life, you better listen to what he says. How do I have eternal life? To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. It's through relationship. You want eternal life? It's through a relationship with Jesus. That's what it is, according to Jesus. He didn't say anything about church. He didn't say anything about tithing. He didn't say anything about reading your Bible. He didn't say anything about your faithfulness, about giving, any of those things. Those are all after the fact, and those are all good things. But that's not how you have eternal life. It's through a relationship with a God who became a man. Is that good news or what? It's good news. It's not about religion. You can go out to our sign and look, you know, we have our tagline is interested in God but not religion. You might say, why do you have that? Because it resonates with a very religious culture. It just resonates. They read it and their heart just goes, yeah, that's me. I've been raised in religion, but I don't have a relationship with God. I want that. We've all been created for that. We have a vacuum, a God-shaped vacuum in our souls that can only be filled with a relationship with God. It doesn't get filled by going to church, even if you go on Wednesdays. It's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Another one of my favorite quotes. Again, these are reminders by Rebecca Pippert, who wrote Out of the Salt Shaker. She says, listen to this. She said, it's a profound mystery that the Son of God visited this planet, and one of the chief complaints against him was that he was not religious enough. When God became a man, the religious leader said, you're not religious enough. You're not like us. You don't go to church enough. What? If God can't be religious enough, then how are you and I ever going to be religious enough? Because it's not about religion. Good religion points you to Christ. It doesn't point you to a church. It doesn't point you to a pastor. It doesn't point you to a program. It points you to Jesus. And that's what I do all the time. Just 2 weeks ago, I was thinking I had a good conversation with someone who is new to our church and just explained to them that what I really want is for you to have a relationship with Christ. If you want to come to the Rock, that's awesome. But what's more important is I want to lead you to Christ right now. I want you to have a relationship with him, and then we can help connect you to Jesus. If you don't end up going to the Rock, I don't care about that. I want you to know Jesus. That's what it's about. It's a relationship. Jesus is among us, and Jesus is accessible to us. Two good traits of the perfect gift. Number three, here's the third point. Jesus is available, meaning you and I can find him no matter what our status is, no matter what our religion is, no matter how old we are, how rich or poor we are, no matter how many friends we have on Facebook or Instagram. Jesus is available, and we can find him. We can find him no matter what our status. In John 4:10, it says, and this is Jesus talking to the woman at the well, who Jesus was not supposed to be talking to. She was an outcast according to the Jewish culture of that time. But Jesus was talking to her, and he said to her, if you knew the gift of God, because she said, do you want me to draw your water? They were at a well. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God. There it is again. It's throughout the New Testament, this phrase, the gift of God. If you knew the gift of God. That's how he answered her. We should stop. Do you know the gift of God? Do you know the gift of God? Have you received the gift of God? If not, you should. He answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And then he tells her, then you would never thirst again. Jesus says, I can give you the gift of God. That's why I'm here. Jesus is available to everyone. I love what he said in John 6:37. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Whoever. Who does that include? That includes you. It includes you and you. It includes you, you, and you. It includes everyone. Whoever comes to Jesus. See, that's the only caveat, is you got to come to him. You got to be open to that. If you come to him, Jesus says, I will never drive you away. And what we can do is we can look at the Christmas story real briefly, and we'll see it, that he doesn't drive anybody away. It doesn't matter their status or anything. Anyone who comes to him, he will not drive away. He'll bring them to himself. Think of it. Think of the poor. Think of the shepherds. The shepherds who were out in their field, and they were the first ones the angel spoke to announce the birth of the king, Jesus in the flesh. And they were the dregs of society. They were not liked. Nobody would talk to them. They couldn't vote. They smelled bad. And God goes to them first. Do you feel like you can relate to the shepherds? Well, then you're in good company. Jesus will never drive you away. You can say, well, Bill, I grew up in a different religion, and I don't know much about this Christianity, or maybe I didn't go to church at all. Well, Think of the Magi, the wise men who came from the East, and they were studying their holy scriptures and probably were studying the Torah as well because they were philosophers, they were scholars, and God gave them a sign, an angelic sign. They followed a star, and God revealed Jesus to them. So if you say you come from a different religious background, well, then again, that's okay. Jesus won't drive you away. You can say, well, I'm just too old for this, or it's too late for me. Well, think of the Christmas story. Who was at the temple waiting prophetically for the newborn king? Anna and Simeon. If you read the story, you'll hear about these an old man and an old woman who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. And when they saw Jesus, they broke out in prophecy and were praising God for Jesus, the Messiah. So you're never too old. You're never past a point where God can redeem you. You say, well, I'm too young. Well, did you know that Mary, Jesus' mother, could have been as young as 14 years old when she birthed Jesus? 14. You're never too young. Jesus will never say, you know, just wait till you get older. No, no, no. If you come to him, he will never drive you away. Jesus is available to everyone. It doesn't matter your gender, doesn't matter your race, your status, your age, your position, doesn't matter your religion. If you come to him, he will receive you. But you got to come to him. And that's my prayer, that you will come to him this Christmas and receive that perfect gift. So that's the third reason Jesus is a perfect gift. Here's our last reason. Jesus is approachable. He's among us. He's accessible. He's available. And he is approachable. This is probably one of the most profound thoughts of the incarnation of Jesus, God becoming man, that he's approachable. Some people are intimidating. Some political figures, if you had to be in a room with them, you might be intimidated and not know what to say, or some famous movie star or musician, you might get tongue-tied, but Jesus is approachable. The God of the universe made himself someone that you could come to and not be afraid of and not be intimidated. We know this is true. Why? Because we know he came as a baby. Think about it. He didn't have to do that. He could have come down as a fully functioning adult human being. You know, he could do it at halftime of some Super Bowl, you know, just kind of float down with all the lights on him and fireworks in the background and say, I am the King of Kings, and come down the 50-yard line and watch the Broncos win the Super Bowl. It would be a Christmas miracle. He could have done that, but he didn't. He chose to come as a baby because babies are approachable. Here's what the Bible says. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the what? The baby who was lying in a manger. Jesus, the God of the universe, became a baby. Again, just so you see it in the Bible, he became like men and was born a human being. That is mind-blowing, that the God of the universe, the creator of everything, the one that made you and I, became a human being. I'm sure it shocked angelic beings in heaven. I bet that the heavenly Twitter was going crazy. Like, can you believe this is God's plan? He's gonna become one of those guys. He's going to become a human. What? That's crazy. But that's what he did. He became a baby. Why would he do that? I like what J.I. Packer said. He said, the Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as this truth of incarnation. Now, what does incarnation mean? It means God embodied himself in flesh. If you get the incarnate, you want the burrito, it's got meat in it. So it means put meat on the bones. God put on meat, put on flesh, incarnate. God became a man. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? So what I want to do is I want to illustrate this in a way, and I do this from time to time, illustrate it in such a way is that you will not soon forget that God became a baby. So here we go. Imagine 2,000 years ago, the God of the universe, who created everyone, came to this world as a little baby. As a little baby. This year I get to have my own little granddaughter. This is Olivia. I want you to think about the significance of the most powerful being in the universe that never was created, that will never go away, that is more powerful than anything you can imagine, that if it wasn't for him, if he snapped his fingers, he could take your breath away. That God became one of these. And what's profound to me is that 2,000 years ago, the God of the universe was taken by his father Joseph and thrown up into the air. And thankfully he caught the God of the universe, because that would have been weird to have God be hurt. The fact that God would do this shows you that we have an amazing God that is approachable. Wouldn't you agree? One of the reasons why God became a baby is that no one is intimidated by a baby. You can come to him. You can't say, oh, God would never want me to come to him and I'm scared of God. No, no, no. He became one of these so that we would come to him. And not fear. Amen. That's what our God did. Jesus became one of those for you and for me. He didn't have to. He chose to. But he didn't just come as a baby. You see, this baby became a man and died. You say, oh, that's terrible. No, no, that was the plan. He had to. Why? Because you and I are on the naughty list. We've sinned. We've done things that God said we shouldn't do. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Who did he give him for? For you, for me, for my sins, for your sins. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have the gift of God, which is eternal life. That's why he came, to die for you. Became a baby, grew up, and died. Sacrificed the perfect Lamb of God who would never sin for your sin and for my sin. In fact, Billy Graham says it this way. The very purpose of Christ coming into the world was that he might offer up his life as a sacrifice for the sins of man. He came to die. This is the heart of Christmas. It doesn't end in the cradle. Jesus came to die. And I want to read something I came across. I've read it before, but I just thought it was so good. It's one page, so bear with me as I read this. And then we'll be done. I'll just summarize and give you a chance to receive this gift. Let me read this because it's very powerful. It has to do with a man and a painting. Many years ago, there was a very wealthy man who shared a passion for art collecting with his son. They had priceless works by Picasso and Van Gogh adorning the walls of their family estate. As winter approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. But after only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram. His son had been killed. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming holidays with anguish and sadness. The joy of the season had vanished with the death of his son. On Christmas morning, a knock at the door awakened the depressed old man. As he walked to the door, the masterpieces of art on the walls only reminded him that his son was not coming home. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hands who said, "I was a friend of your son. In fact, I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something I'd like to show you." The soldier mentioned that he was an artist, then gave the old man the package. The paper gave way to reveal a portrait of the man's son. Though the world would never consider it a work of genius, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the man hung the portrait over his fireplace, pushing aside millions of dollars worth of art. His task completed, the old man sat in his chair and spent Christmas gazing at the gift he had been given. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession, far eclipsing any interest in the pieces of art for which museums around the world clamored. The following spring, the old man died, and the art world waited with anticipation for the upcoming auction. According to the will of the old man, all of the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he had received his most precious gift. The Danes soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled this day. The auction began with a painting that was not on anyone's museum list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room was silent. Who will open with a bidding of $100? No one spoke. Finally, someone said, wait a minute, who cares about this painting? It's just a picture of the son. Let's move on to the valuable works. And the auctioneer responded, no, we have to sell this one first. Now, who will take the son? Finally, a neighbor of the old man and a good friend offered $10. He said, that's all I have. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it. The auctioneer said, going once, going twice, gone, and the gavel fell. Cheers filled the room, and someone exclaimed, now we can bid on the treasures. But the auctioneer looked around the room filled with people and announced that the auction was over. Everyone was stunned. Someone spoke up and said, what do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for the painting of someone's son. There are millions of dollars worth of art here. What's going on? The auctioneer replied, it's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets everything. So my question, as we end our time tonight, have you accepted God's gift? Have you taken the son? If you take the son, you get everything. You get your sins forgiven. You get heaven and paradise forever. If you take the Son, if you reject the Son, you get nothing. Jesus is the gift of God to the world. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but here it is again, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What you earn from your sin is death, separation from God forever. And I deserve that too, but the gift, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you've gotten that gift, if you've received that gift, please be reminded about what a special thing it is that God died for you, came to this planet. If you haven't, if you're seeking tonight and you don't know Jesus, you can receive this gift tonight. In fact, let me just share something with you. Most likely, you've sung about this your whole life. You've sung about Jesus your whole life. Tonight, we sang songs, Joy to the Earth, the Savior reigns. Jesus is the Savior. He can save you from your sins. That's what it's saying. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. He is the Lord, the God over everything. And you've sang that your whole life. Joy, joy, for Christ is born. You attest every time you sing those songs that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah who came to this planet as a baby. And joyful, joyful, we adore thee. This is your opportunity. You've sung these songs, some of you for decades. Why not pray it as a prayer tonight and mean it in your heart? Receive the gift that Jesus offers you tonight. Make this Christmas the best ever. By the way, you're not here by mistake, and I know that. I don't care if you're drugged here by somebody. God had you here for a reason, to hear this message. Can I encourage you, don't let another Christmas go by without taking the Son, taking the gift that is Jesus, the perfect gift of Jesus who came as one among us, who is accessible to you, who is available to everyone, and who is approachable because he came as a baby but died for your sins as a man. Listen, you don't need to kidnap Mother Mary to get this gift. All you have to do is ask for it, and he'll give it to you. Amen. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Thank you for this time, Lord Jesus. And as we turn to you in prayer, I sense that there are people here who have been close to you in the past, but maybe have drifted away. And I just want to encourage you that there's no better time to come back to Jesus than a Christmas time. So just let me clarify, we're not talking about religion. I'm not saying come to the church. You may have a religious background already. You may be Catholic or Protestant or LDS or Jewish or Buddhist or Baptist. I don't know. We're not talking about that. We're talking about you having a relationship with God that you were designed to have, taking the gift and begin that relationship today. This is your moment to accept God's Christmas gift to you. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and if it expresses the desire of your heart, why don't you pray along with me quietly in your own heart? Dear God, I don't want to let another Christmas season pass without accepting your gift to me. I thank you for coming to earth as a baby so I can know what you're like. And I'm amazed that you would want a relationship with me. I do want to get to know you. I want to learn to trust you. I know I've done a lot of things wrong. I know I've sinned against you. And I'm so thankful and grateful for your forgiveness, for your death on the cross, and your gift of eternal life. Thank you for paying for my sins so I could be with you forever. From this day forward, I want to be under new management. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Right now, December 19th, 2020, I want to receive this gift of eternal life and ask you to forgive me of my sins. Thank you that you've heard my prayer. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Now, with your heads bowed, I just want to say this. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time tonight, then God bless you and Merry Christmas. This is the one gift that won't sit on your shelf. It's a gift that'll you'll take with you forever into eternity, but you may have questions. So here's what I want to do in this season of COVID. I know that people are leery of wanting to come up close to me. So if you would do me a favor, because I want to connect with you. If you prayed that for the first time, would you just go to our website? It's very simple. It's the prayer link. It's trc.life/pray. And write me, or my email is on the handout. You can email me. Just let me know that you prayed that prayer, and I want to just connect you with some resources. Would you do that if you prayed that prayer for the first time? I'll be here. You can talk to me afterwards if you like. For the rest of us, God, thank you for this time. Thank you for the reminder that you came to this planet to save us from our sins. Thank you for that Christmas gift you've given to us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.